Hello, those of you who are out there in Radio Land. Today is November the 3rd of 2022. My name is Linda Sims, and the name of my show is called A Voice of a People. We also stream live on the web, www.wgh1071.com. Not only that, you can download a free app called TuneIn on any electronic device and search WWGH. Or you can call in, but not this time. My guest will be calling in, Vernon E. Williams. He is a producer of a film called Mayor Jones, and the premiere will take place November the 4th. And I'll give you more information about that, or he will, as he calls in. But thank you for listening. Let me share with you those who faithfully support A Voice of a People, starting with Chappies Hydraulic Hose Specialist, LLC, at 1325 North Main Street here in Marion, Ohio. The phone there is 740-382-8552. We have Logos Christian Ministries, Pastor Jackie Peterson of 582 Lee Street, Marion, Ohio. Phone there is 740-223-1515 or www.logoschristianministries.com. Free Produce is their ongoing announcement, which takes place November the 19th at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Please share this information with others you know may be in need of free produce. We also have Inspect Ohio, LLC, your one-call home inspection company with 30 years of experience working for you. Owner, Cheryl Lee. Location, LaRue, Ohio. Phone number there is 740-262-0939. Looks like I will have the opportunity of sharing my thought for today, which is good. And it's titled, Trust in Others. Wins cooperation from them. To have faith in others also means reinforcing other people's faith in themselves. This naturally increases their self-confidence and creates enthusiasm. Then they become better able to respond to positive feelings and access their full potential. If I notice someone I work with is not cooperating with me, I need to check my own faith in that person. When I am able to appreciate them for their own unique qualities, my faith in that person will grow. When I am able to appreciate them for their own unique qualities, because we all have our own unique qualities. And that's where love my brother, love my sister comes from, because we're all different. We are all unique, and we all have something to share. Now, hopefully that thought will stay with you. My caller is calling in right now at this moment. Welcome to the show, Vernon. How are you today?
Hello. Hello. Hey, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay. I can't hear you very well. It's a little low, the volume on my end.
As far as I know, let me turn this down a little bit. Maybe it's up too high. Alrighty, let's try this again. Now you speak.
Hello.
Okay, I can hear you.
I can hear you a little bit better. It's still kind of low, but we might be able to work through that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to have to,
That was better.
Okay, great. Sometimes it's just a mic. It's where you are, right? Depends on your equipment also. So how are you?
I'm doing well. I'm very excited about everything that's coming up here, and I'm just looking forward to getting through the next couple of days.
Well, introduce yourself to my listeners, Vernon.
My name is Vernon Williams. I am a filmmaker based out of Cincinnati, Ohio. I actually grew up in Columbus, Ohio, and I have a film, actually, that is premiering in Cincinnati, Ohio at the Esquire Theater tomorrow, so Friday, November 4th. The film is titled The Mayor Jones, and it's a story that is inspired by Eugene O'Neill's 1920 play, The Emperor Jones.
Okay. So what inspired you to be a producer in films?
Well, a lot of these things just kind of happened organically. I didn't necessarily set out to do that when I first started writing The Mayor Jones. It actually was for a class in college. And I took a Eugene O'Neill class, not knowing much about who Eugene O'Neill was and understanding his impact as a playwright in American theater. And when I took the class, time came due for the final, and I had to figure out something to do. So one of the options was to write an original play. And I said, hey, you know, this is something I can try to do. And I remembered reading The Emperor Jones earlier during that semester, and I thought, what would it be like if, you know, I tried to tell that story right now in, in a different way? And that's how The Mayor Jones initially started. So fast forward to the next semester, my professor in that class, Dr. Katie Johnson, actually reached out to me and she said, I think that the play you wrote has some potential. Why don't we get together and you can turn it into an independent study next semester and we can have it performed on campus by the end of the semester. And so we ended up doing that. We worked on it the entire next semester as an independent study, and it was performed at the end of that semester in the form of a staged reading. Then several years went by. I didn't do much with it, and then COVID kind of hit. Katie called me again, and she was teaching the O'Neill class once again, and she asked me to come speak with her students virtually. And so I popped on there and talked a little bit about what I wrote in her class, The Mayor Jones. And then you know, a month or two later, some friends and I were just trying to figure out something to do because everything was still kind of shut down and really, you know, a lot of things were closed. And we just made a decision that we were going to work on something. I showed them the play script, the stage play that I had of The Mayor Jones that I had worked on previously, and we all decided that was the best story to try to use going forward. And then I turned it into a screenplay, so I had to adapt it for film versus for theater. And then we just got the ball rolling, and so it just kind of happened organically. It wasn't really planned until that decision to make it happen.
Right. That's great. That's great. So, what's so unique about Mayor Jones?
I would say one of the unique things about the Mayor Jones that you don't always get in every story is that the titular character, Mayor Jones, Brutus Jones the Fourth is his given name, but he is very complex in the way that he's not always easy to root for. You know, he controversial mayor, and as we kind of start the present action of the film, he's currently embattled with various groups of people over his decision to kind of sponsor a for-profit prison being built in the city that he is the mayor of. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that and some other things make him, you know, like all of us, but, you know, complex. He has good about him, but he definitely has bad things that he's done or he's doing that we get to see on full display. So I would say that's something that's probably more unique than most stories that people see.
Okay. And that's your spin on this movie?
Yeah, I think one of the things drawing inspiration from the Emperor Jones from 1920 is that O'Neill wrote that character as a kind of morally, questionable character. I wanted to make sure I took some of that for sure, so I couldn't just give the audience someone that was very easy to root for, because it wouldn't be with, you know, the spirit of the Emperor Jones. And so, that's kind of an important thing. I think always highlighting the flaws in human beings is important whenever you're telling stories, so that we could see the nuance and the subtlety that's in there, since we just all aren't easy to look at one time and see exactly who we are.
That's for sure. How complex we are, right?
Yes.
As human beings, right? There's, like you said, different sides to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so elated that you decided, talk to Johnny Jackson, and he gave you my name. And
yeah, shout out Johnny.
Yeah.
Johnny Jackson.
Yeah, so I'm waiting on him to make a visit into the studio here soon. He hasn't gotten back with me yet, but he's a very active young man in our community here in Marion, Ohio, and he's doing a lot, and has
doing
been.
Doing a lot. Proud of him.
Yes, me too. So how long have you and him known each other?
Oh, we just kind of crossed paths during our time at Miami, and it's interesting, we had bumped into each other before, and kind of, just had initially met, and then we probably, became closer during the time he was doing an event. He was speaking at an event that was for young black children, young black boys.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about his situation, how he grew up, and he had two parents that at various times were incarcerated as he was growing up as a young person. And
right.
I didn't know that about him before, and it was just interesting for me, because that really was kind of one of the main inspirations also behind me writing the Mayor Jones. When Tom had set out for me to work on that final in Katie's class, I had just recently received news that my sister had been sentenced to 6 years in prison, and she had two young girls at the time, 5 and 6 years old, And by the time she got out, she had missed, you know, over half their lives.
Mm-hmm.
She was away from them. And so it was just something that was, you know, like, difficult for my family, that we were trying to figure out and try to pick up the pieces, and how do we make sure that we support, you know, those little girls who didn't have anything to do with the situation. And, you know, hearing Johnny talk about his own story and growing up, and I think during the time when his mother was incarcerated, she was at ORW, and that's where my sister actually spent most of her time as well. So we kind of connected on that, the shared trauma of, you know, I guess, prison industrial complex, and how it affected us in different ways, and how we could both, you know, relate to that, having loved ones that were locked away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we, you know, really kind of developed our friendship. And then, you know, from there, you know, we just kept in touch and kept moving and working together on different things. But yeah, he's definitely a good guy. He has an incredible story.
Yes, he does. And you know, we never know what another person has gone through, their experiences that they have had in their lives, you know. And I'm sure most of us have had at least one loved one, close or even far off relative, have had to do time in prison, you know, and it does affect the entire family. It affects everybody. You know, you just don't know how to handle it, but the best you can do is support.
Yeah.
And be there for one another.
It's, you know, definitely a story that's very all too familiar for you know, black people in this country, and just the rates with which black people are incarcerated, it's a lot. Like everyone you talk to has, you know, at least one and probably multiple stories about family and close friends that are, you know, incarcerated. I know on my mother's side, one of her brothers got into trouble when he was 17 years old, and still to this day I've never met him. He's been in prison this entire time, and we're probably talking about at this point over 40 years.
Oh my.
And I've never seen this man in my life, because he's been in prison more than my entire life. So it's you know, just one of those things that we all deal with, you know, like I said, unfortunately, it's like a shared trauma and almost like passed down through generations, even if you think going back to, you know, what initially brought our ancestors here. It's almost just like a continuation by a different name.
Oh, yeah, it is. Different type, different name on it, you know. Same results, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Hate to even, you know, it should not be that we have to still deal with some things like that. Because you would think in 2023 almost, things would be different for us. And somewhat they are different. You know, they're not all the same, but it's just that little catch that, you know, that still exists.
Yeah.
You know, and some of us fall prey to it.
Yeah.
You know, just fall prey to it. Because we're all not perfect.
Yeah.
You know, our minds are not.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's, you know, I don't believe that there's no place for, you know, prison or, I definitely believe that there are some people who are too dangerous to be with the general population, and they've proven that over time. So there is a place for that, you know, you have to protect the population.
Right.
But at the same time, just the amount of people who aren't really causing, you know, physical harm or, right, like, active threats that are incarcerated, especially when you look at, you know, either the direct or indirect kind of, like, economic reasons for certain crimes to be committed, possibly. That seems like, you know, there might be different fixes in order, and if you really want to rehabilitate someone, you know, if you can improve, you know, the lower income, you know, population's, you know, quality of life, those things probably change the desire and the need to feel like you have to do certain things to survive and to take care of your family. So I just think that we're going about it the wrong way.
Oh, I agree 100%. Mm-hmm. If you're not a physical threat to the population, you know, there should be other means. And not only that, even if you did feel that a prison sentence warranted what a person did, what about the length of time?
Right.
Some of those are just too long, you know, for what? And I don't know. And I just wish it wasn't so prevalent in our society, but it is, especially in America.
It's funny. Just, you know, I was in California the past almost 4 weeks, so I just got back to Ohio on Monday, on this Monday, and I was in California, and I was actually working on expanding the Mayor Jones as a story. I was, you know, the recipient of the prestigious Travis Bogart Artist in Residency Fellowship Program with the Eugene O'Neill Foundation. So they, you know, allowed me the time and the space to get out there and work and really develop the Mayor Jones even further. And, you know, so it's actually a lot going on with that story now, and I'm looking forward to what happens with the next iteration of it, and, you know, being able to just dive deeper into the prison industrial complex and, you know, some of the ramifications of that with everyday people, and especially for, you know, Black people, and it's like a full 360 impact on all of us in different ways.
Oh yeah, society as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether they realize it or not, it also affects our entire society, our entire nation. You know, how much better would it be if some people could be out here and be rehabilitated, and, you know, all those, you know, like they said, you know, their mind, you know, you have scientists in there, you have doctors, lawyers, you know, you have new inventors out there, and if they could be out here really using their gifts and talents, you know, to make this place a better place, you know, and add to our economy, you know, because it's like, okay, well, now, you know, there's not enough people working, but there are more people working now, I believe, than ever before. But still, that doesn't mean that, you know, some of those things that they have locked behind bars would not be an advantage to us out here, you know. And, you know, I just think that being locked up in a cage is, I'm like you, is just not the answer. Let's try something else.
Mm-hmm.
trying to educate people, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure everybody's not like that, because like you said, there are some minds that will not be changed or turned around.
Right.
But
right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, you know, I mean, it's you know, I think maybe at a certain point, people could have convinced themselves that you know, mass incarceration was, you know, a path to move down and to choose going forward. But I just, you know, by this point, the overwhelming evidence of the harm that it's doing outweighing whatever positives, you know, someone could think that it was causing, and also, you know, some of the hypocrisy in it when you come to you know, different sentencing, and you know, some people not being you know, not serving any time for the same offenses that other people are, you know, getting 5, 10, 15, 25 to life. And it's just amazing when you also look at the hypocrisy of it. And so I think those are the things that, you know, as a nation, we really have to address and decide, you know, hey, like, this isn't right, no matter what, you know, anyone says. Like, there's a place for certain people that are threats, but, you know, you aren't a threat just because you exist.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that at one point that was kind of, if not spoken, at least like an underlying idea that certain people were more threatening because of what they look like or where they grew up or, you know, who their parents were, the things that they had available to them, which is a problem in and of itself. But definitely by this point, I think more people realize that, you know, people don't deserve to be locked away just because of, you know, how they come into this world.
Right. Wrong reason.
Yeah.
Wrong reason. Wow. For such a punishment.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the thing about that is some minds will never change where we are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Some won't. Some will.
Yeah.
You know, but some won't. And those are like people in high places. High places. Who have the power to make those type of decisions, you know, where we're concerned as a people in
mm-hmm.
this nation. But, you know, we are a part of this nation. We have interests, gifts, talents, money, you know, we've been a part. We've helped build this nation.
Right.
And possibly nations across seas
mm-hmm.
fought in wars. But, you know, some people you just can't change no matter what.
Yeah. And, I mean, I know, up in Marion and the surrounding areas, there are several prisons. And so, you know, you see it a lot in certain places. It seems like, you know, every corner there's a different prison. It's like, how are we, you know, why do we have this many prisons here? Why, you know, it's amazing. And, you know, like I said, being out in California, you know, that's the prison capital of the world. It's more prisons and more incarcerated persons than, you know,
I never realized that in California. Never thought about it.
It's, I mean, it's true. Well, it is the biggest state as far as population as well, but yeah, there are more people are incarcerated there than anywhere else, and you know, the U.S. and as a whole is laughing the rest of the world when it comes to you know, incarceration rates, and not to say that you know, other places don't have plenty of issues, and you know, I am proud to be a U.S. citizen and be born here, be raised here, and to live here, but it's more so just to say, like, we could do a lot better, and there are some things that, you know, to do better doesn't mean that it has to be perfect. It just means, like, we're actually trying to do better, and things that we know are wrong, we're trying to fix, and we're changing laws, and we're changing the way that we teach and the way that we interact with each other in our communities, and the way that you know, law enforcement treats the people that you know, they're supposed to serve, and how the judicial system works. You know, though, we just want to hold all of us to a higher standard, and the standard of, you know, just trying to be better with certain things, which I know is possible, but you know, it just takes people to really make that decision, and might have to be pressure from the ground up to make sure that these things are changing, and it's reflected, you know, in our communities. So that's what, you know, I believe can happen, but you know, will it happen? That's another question.
Right. And who can we go to try to make these things happen? How do we go about it?
Yeah, it's a lot of people a lot smarter than me that still haven't figured out how to get to where we need to be. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I mean, I think, you know, as long as I'm here, I guess I'm gonna try.
Well, that's encouraging, and hopefully we will follow suit behind you, you know. Because I think a lot of us are, like I said, we are victims and have loved ones that have been locked up, and may have some in the future that's going to be locked up, you know. And just hopefully, you know, they say, well, the time suits the crime, but that's not necessarily true always, you know. Like, I had a loved one here. I don't know how much cocaine she had, but she had cocaine, and she did 6 years, like, flat out. But, you know, when she got out, she got caught again, you know, so I don't know how long she has now, but, you know, it's those things that kind of, they have a science on this, like, well, you know, these are repeat offenders, you know, and they will continue to repeat, so every time they go to jail, they give them a longer sentence, so, but, wow. I don't know how to change that, you know. And I think she was working. I don't know how much money she was making. And, you know, some things can be about, you know, renewing of the mind. Let's change mindsets if we can. And how do we go about that? And now we have these youth growing up that do not want to listen to anybody. I'm not saying all.
Yeah, it's a no problem. I got some of them in my own family that I'm trying to figure out how to reach them, and it proves to be difficult sometimes.
Yeah, because they know everything. They don't want to even listen to reason, you know. But they have so many voices. you know, to listen to, going into their ear. They have social media, they have YouTube, they got people on there spitting out poison, and then they buy that, and, you know, it's like, how do you build a foundation with these young people?
Right.
And that's what they need, a foundation, something that they can fall back on. And but then you have people coming to tear up the foundation that has been built. But you can't allow that to happen, you know.
Right.
You can't allow that to happen. So, what can I say? I have grandsons of my own here. Yes, I do. Grandsons. I think one is... Huh?
I was listening.
Oh, yeah. 35, 26, and 18 grandsons. Okay. So, my heart is always pounding when I hit, when the phone rings. Like, I hope everything is okay and everybody's all right, you know, because...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it is, you know. Because everybody's not walking that chalk line, that's for sure.
Yes. Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, it's such an interesting time to be a, you know, be black in this country. And, I mean, there are so many different paths that are available that a lot of people are taking advantage of, but, you know, you still have, many people that are, you know, going down a more dangerous path in one way or another. And, you know, I think a lot of that is income driven, where, you know, again, it's just, if you feel that sense of desperation, you know, people do almost anything to try to survive, but all of it isn't economic. Some of it is, you know, for other reasons.
Right.
And so those are the ones that, you know, we just have to try to make sure that our youth know that there are options growing up, and that, you know, the opportunities are limitless when you're looking at your future, and just make sure that we keep positive people like yourself and like Johnny, you know, around and available that could try to show them, you know, just different paths that they could take, and hopefully, you know, less and less of our children over time will, you know, move down down those more dangerous you know, lifestyles.
Right, and pray. And pray. Yeah. Much prayer, okay?
Yeah, prayer.
Much prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That the Lord will open up their eyes, that they may see in their ears, that they may hear, you know, and understand that God has a plan for their life. You know, He's already made this plan. That's why I try to tell my grandsons, God has a plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
A plan of not of evil, you know, but of good and of peace.
Right.
You know, not to bring you down, but to build you up.
Right. And
that's the life that you should be trying to get a hold of. Not the life that you can create for yourself. And that's where we find a lot of our problems, is when we go on our own and try to live our own life without God, and just getting that into the heads and minds of people, or hearts and minds of people, is another challenge.
Yeah, for sure.
It is another challenge. But still, our time is drawing nigh, and I want you to talk about your film and those things in our last remaining minutes.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, again, the film is The Mayor Jones.
Yes.
It is inspired by Eugene O'Neill's The Emperor Jones, which was written over 100 years ago at this point, and... it's, you know, a story about, you know, family and, you know, a story about, you know, incarceration and, you know, about doing, making decisions, for your life and being at a crossroads, and, a story about, you know, redemption and, just all of those things. So, you know, I would love for, anyone who's able to get to, Cincinnati down to Esquire Theater on Ludlow Avenue, in Clifton, if you can get down to Esquire, tomorrow, November 4th at 6:30 PM, the Mayor Jones will be playing, and, you know, so feel free to come by. We have an Eventbrite link where you can purchase your tickets. That, site is Mayor Jones, at Eventbrite.com, or MayorJones.Eventbrite.com, I apologize. But that is the site, MayorJones.Eventbrite.com. So, you know, feel free to go on there and purchase your ticket, and I look forward to seeing, you know, everyone that can make it come down and support local filmmakers. You know, we produce this ourselves, so pretty much, you know, everything that's being done is coming out of my pocket. And just, you know, trying to put this event on to celebrate the cast and the crew that worked hard and, you know, made sacrifices to make something like this happen. So, you know, hopefully you guys can get down there and really, you know, enjoy the moment and appreciate the work that was done in order for this to happen.
That's great. That's really great. And I want you to put that advertisement you put on Messenger on my Facebook page. I could not get it over there.
Okay, I will.
And you're free to advertise on my Facebook page. Okay, and I will share
that.
Yes, with my listeners, always. And you have to get back with me after the premiere and everything and tell us how everything turned out.
Yeah, I'll definitely, you know, come back on and give some updates about the Mayor Jones and, you know, anything else that I might be working on in the future. So I'll definitely, you know, keep in touch and, you know, make sure that, you know, I'm being supportive of the community and you know, for you giving me this opportunity. I just greatly appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's been a blessing to me as well.
Thank you so much, Ms. Linda.
And I wish you well on the premiere tomorrow night. Like they say, break a leg.
Yeah.
But not literally. Don't do that, right?
Oh, my.
Right. I just pray everything goes well and, you know, you'll be inspired to continue your work and those who are working with you will be inspired and committed to go further with this because we are all a part of this story.
Yes.
You know, we are because we all have suffered in this way. So we can all relate to what's going on and your heart and where you're coming from and praying for your family as well as other families that's going through the same thing, incarceration and mass incarceration and these long sentences that...
Thank you so much. And I'm, you know, I have your family and my thoughts and prayers too. Hopefully, you know, hopefully everyone will be on the right path.
Amen. And that's exactly what it's about. Exactly. So, in a couple minutes, can you just speak to our audience, our young men that may be listening or will listen to this show or be a part of the premiere? You want to give them a shout out at this time?
You know, there's always options and, you know, different things that you can do. So I always suggest, you know, if you look and see something that you're interested in doing, just number one, try to start studying. So if you need to get a textbook or go to the library and grab a book or go online and watch YouTube videos, just whatever it is, if it's, you know, filmmaking or writing or creating like I'm doing, you know, just start looking at those things. Reach out to local professionals who have experience, and most of the time, anyone you reach out to is more than willing to, you know, at least give you some advice. And sometimes they'll take you on as, you know, as mentors, and you know, you can work with them in that capacity. But you know, just work on whatever you want to do, and at the end of the day, just make a decision and go do it. But again, if anyone has any questions for me, you can reach me by email or on Instagram at VZVEEZY89. You can reach me on Facebook, Vernon E. Williams. I'll be on Linda's page, so you could find me on there. And then also come down to the premiere. I'd love to have you. So,
amen.
Again, our Eventbrite link is mayorjones.eventbrite.com. It is tomorrow. The Mayor Jones is premiering at Esquire Theater in Cincinnati, Ohio. So I'd love to have any and everyone that's able come down and support, and you know, thank you in advance for showing up and making it a special night.
Well, thank you once again, Vernon, and wishing you well, and God
thank
bless.
Thank you so much, Linda.
Uh huh. Bye.
Bye bye.
That was Vernon E. Williams. His premiere film, Mayor Jones, will take place tomorrow. Check out my Facebook page, Linda Sims. Get more information about the premiere tomorrow night and how to get in touch with Vernon. If you want to hear the show, please go to www.wwgh1071.com and you can hear this broadcast. Vernon talking. Okay. I didn't do Facebook Live with him because he wasn't here in person. But you can find it there. And those of you who are listening, God bless. Till next time. Time is out. Thank you, Linda Sims.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.